It's been a few weeks, and that's because yours truly has been busy with state playoffs, which led me to Ford Field. But nonetheless, we are back here in the Tom Green Podcast. Welcome back to the show. The Lions have been on a winning streak, except for Thanksgiving, of course, against the Bills, which Tyler Bass won that game by a field goal that, had it been 5 yards deeper, it would have been wide left. I'm sure we remember seeing that field goal. But nonetheless, the Lions have been on a hot streak. The Vikings look to have the division sealed, but it's not mathematically done just yet. With that said, we brought in an Instagram superfan of yours truly, Mills Turner. Welcome to the show, Mills.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here. I am very excited to be on the podcast. I know that you've been working hard. And, interesting matchup this weekend between the Vikings and the Lions.
Absolutely, as the first matchup in Minnesota arguably could very well have been a Lions victory. I mean, the Lions were up 10 with 12 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. And, of course, they do what Detroit sports has been known to do over the years, just fold right at the end, and Kirk Cousins somehow took advantage of it. So tell me more about your squad this year. I mean, you guys have only lost, well, let's, I will double check that. You guys have only lost twice, 10-2. Right. I mean, this has been a season so far to remember in Minneapolis.
It's been fantastic. I mean, every single game has essentially been a nail biter. We beat the Packers week one pretty handily.
I'm always good with that.
Yeah, you support that one. Our two losses to the Eagles and the Cowboys, two, pretty much contenders, if you will, weren't very close, weren't very competitive. But other than that, they've obviously been in every game, won every other game. They're finding ways to win at the end. And this is a team kind of under the Zimmer regime, when Mike Zimmer was the head coach, that just choked in the final minutes, right? They had one of the worst defenses of all time in the final 2 minutes of a half. And that was just a huge problem. So really, Kevin O'Connell comes in, he's flipping the script a little bit, and we're winning the close games. The defense has been bend, don't break. They definitely broke in that Dallas game that the whole country saw. But for the most part, we're winning close games. And when you have, a plethora really of superstars on that roster, including a former Lion tight end, as you know, But anything can happen when you have Justin Jefferson on your team. I mean, he is going down, and it's very early in his career, but he's going down as sort of in that conversation as one of the greats. I mean, that's sort of what we're seeing very early, in that career. So, 10-2, we'll take it. We are used to heartbreak here in Minnesota. I'm looking outside. It's very snowy. It's very gray. It's going to be like that for about 4 months. So we could use a Super Bowl title. We've never had one, but 10-2, we're enjoying the ride.
Absolutely. And I've got it is 2:15 p.m. Eastern time in Kindy, Michigan, where I'm recording this show from. And if you're watching on video, I've got the light on in the upstairs room that I'm recording this show in, and that's because it is dark and gray in here as well. And then, like you had said, it's going to be gray here too for the next 4 months. So buckle up and strap in. And as Hawk Harrelson says, sit back, relax, and strap it down. Winter weather coming your way. Nonetheless, this matchup at Ford Field. First question I really have is, how the hell are the Lions favored in this game?
Well, the Vikings, you're looking at people are saying they're the worst 10-2 team in the history of the NFL, because of our point differential. We're only plus 10. Well, that's going to happen when you're winning games at the end. You're only having you win by a field goal. You win by one possession, and then you get blown out 40-3 or whatever it was against the Cowboys. And it was not the worst score at the end of that Eagles game in week two, but we got blown out. So, the narrative with the Vikings is they're scraping by, and they're going on the road. It's a division game, and look, the Lions are playing great, right? So they've won 4 out of 5. They probably should have beat Buffalo on Thanksgiving. They're playing really well. You know, they get Jameson Williams back, and we'll see what he can do. And really, they're 4-1 since they traded TJ Hawkinson. So are the Vikings since they got him and acquired him. So I'm not that surprised by it. You know, we've been underdogs before. I'm not sure which game was sort of glaring. But you know, 10-2 is all that matters. You know, all that matters in the league is that column that says W. So I'm not too concerned with this sort of underdog narrative. Vikings are going to go in there and play their game. It's really about, I mean, there could be 70 points scored in this football game. You know, because we have, I would say our defense is really the Achilles heel of this team. The secondary, not a lot of depth on that team. And then you look at the Lions, the worst scoring defense in the NFL, right? So
Oh, yes.
you're going to have probably a lot of fireworks at Ford Field. It's a fast track. You have a lot of good athletes, obviously, on the field and skill players. This could be one of those kind of 38-35 type games, maybe 35-31. But we know it's going to come down probably to, you know, the last few minutes of this game.
Yeah, and the thing is that the defense has been the worst in the entire league as far as scoring goes. But after the bye week, it seems to me, at least, that this defense turned a corner. And that corner was in the first few weeks of the season before the bye and before Dallas, they seemed to rely on the turnovers all the time. But after the bye week and after they got rid of Aubrey Pleasant, it seems like their focus was more on getting a stop rather than getting a turnover. And that has changed this defense, honestly, tenfold. Now, the numbers might still say they're a horrible scoring defense, but that's a bit of an anomaly from those first 3 weeks because every week is how you're sort of predicting how this game is going to go. Every week was a track meet. I mean, Jared Goff would find, not necessarily DJ Chark, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, or before he got traded, TJ Hawkinson for a score. And 2 minutes later, the other team, whether it's the Eagles or the Commanders, would score. And so that's kind of how the defense just became the worst in the NFL, which is now the pages sort of turned. But that doesn't mean this week won't go how you may think, because Minnesota's got athletes, and this could be, and Ford Field, of course. Ford Field in December is different than possibly Ford Field in September, because you have cold weather teams that are used to playing cold weather football. Well, that's not the case in Detroit. You got climate controlled football, and it could make it a track meet, like you had said.
Yeah, Detroit's defense has been really good. I believe, you know, 3.7 yards per carry in the during this kind of streak. You know, we call it a streak, right? Four out of five. We'll take that if you're a Lions fan.
Of course.
So they're stopping the run. It'll be a very interesting matchup with Dalvin Cook, and this Vikings offensive line. And defensively for Minnesota and the Vikings, you know, they've made plays when they've had to. So a couple years ago, last year, they weren't making those plays at the end of the game. We're icing games with a late interception, whether it's, you know, Cam Bynum or Harrison Smith or Patrick Peterson. It's happened numerous times this season where we've kind of iced it with a pick, usually at the goal line. And, you know, the bounces have just gone our way. And Vikings could easily have a very different record. It could be 5-7, you know, like the Lions. But 10-2. We'll take it. You know, if you're a Vikings fan, you know, you're looking at trying to get that first round bye. Obviously, the tiebreaker, the Eagles have that with us, so that is a problem. But you know, Vikings have a pretty legit schedule for the rest of the season, so there's a chance they win out, but you got to have the Eagles lose some games here. But I will say, Tom, I am pretty nervous about this game. You know, we always have close games, these division matchups, where anything can happen. You sort of throw the records out the window, right? You know, with
Sure.
games like this. So we'll see what happens. You know, it could come down to Dan Campbell not managing the clock, right? Has that been sort of a narrative that the Detroit fandom has noticed?
Yeah, that's some fans have quietly noticed that. I haven't thought of it as that huge of an issue, but it could be something that could cost them games in the future. Like the Bills game, they make that catch on third down nobody is talking about Dan Campbell's clock management. So it's kind of a combination of clock management and how the downs are played. Now, let's compare Dan Campbell's clock management to Jeff Saturday's clock management. Those are apples to oranges, because Jeff Saturday looks like, honestly, and we are kind of going off course, but that's fine. That's why it's a podcast. I mean, Jeff Saturday has... doesn't it look like he's over his head?
Well, he is an analyst. I mean, that's really his job. He was great on ESPN. And, you know, I have no idea why they made that decision. I mean, maybe Jim Irsay had a little bit too much to drink and decided to hire him. Hire his drinking buddy. I'm not really sure. I know that, you know, Jeff Saturday, in his case, hired somebody, you know, on his staff to help him out with clock management. But, you know, there's only so much time you have in those critical moments to really know what to do. And you're the one who's got to talk to the ref on the sideline, and you're the one who's got to run up and down the field and know the situations. I've always been blown away by NFL teams and their head coaches that can't manage the clock. Mike Zimmer was like that, you know, for a long time. I mean, he's not an offensive coach, right? And Zimmer actually just got a job on Deion Sanders' staff at the University of Colorado as a defensive coordinator, interestingly enough.
I did read about that, yes.
Yeah, so he would always have these problems, and it's, you know, it's like, gosh, you're making a lot of money to not know what the hell's going on in a critical situation. So I've been impressed with Kevin O'Connell, the way he manages the game. He clearly knows offensive football. But once again, that defense, that's what worries me. And, you know, hopefully the Vikings can get a win Sunday and get to 11-2 and get closer to perhaps that first round bye, which it looks like it's the Eagles to lose in a big way here.
I did read that if the Vikings come out with a win or a tie in this game, they do clinch the NFC North. So right now, if you're a Detroit fan, your focus is on maybe trying to hit the playoffs, because obviously the division is lost at this point. It's a lost cause. Obviously, Minnesota has got it. So at this point, score prediction, how do you think Sunday afternoon is going to go?
You know, I think we are going to see fireworks in this game. You know, I'm thinking that the Vikings are going to win the football game. It's going to be very, very close. It might come down to, you know, Justin Jefferson feasting. But also, I mean, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to have a monster game as well. It's just going to be a lot of points. I'm thinking the Vikings win this game 34-31 on the road. How about yourself? What do you think?
Alrighty. So at least my thoughts on this is that, yes, the divisional games so far, with the exception of the Packers game at Ford Field, have been track meets. I mean, let's look at the Bears game at Soldier Field. I mean, Fields ran for 2 touchdowns. He helped 2 of my fantasy teams for sure. But the Lions pulled out with what I believe was a 34-31 type win. And so this is what could happen here on Sunday as well. At US Bank Stadium, that was another game that ended up, I believe, like 28-24 or something like that, where, of course, Detroit had that 10-point blown lead. That, of course, could have been, like you had said, mismanagement by Dan Campbell. So in this game, you picked the Vikings by 3. I got to do it. I'm going to pick the Lions by 3. It's going to be a track meet. I like the track meet. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to catch 2 touchdowns. TJ Hockenson will catch 1 touchdown and will get abhorrently booed by the Detroit crowd just because. Justin Jefferson is going to catch a touchdown. Dalvin Cook is going to run for a touchdown. Jamal Williams will run for a touchdown, as he always does, it seems like. And let's see. Michael Badgley redeems himself from the Jim Nantz curse and kicks a 45-yard field goal to win it at the end for Detroit, 31-28.
Very nice. I hope that does not happen. I think you're correct about Jamal Williams just scores. All he does is score touchdowns from 2 yards out. You know, it's almost like the Amon-Ra St. Brown barely, you know, is stopped at the 2. They hand it to Jamal Williams. I have DeAndre Swift on my fantasy team, which totally sucks on a lot of levels, given his usage and injury history and all that. I actually traded Jonathan. Well, let's just not get into who I traded.
I get it.
Back, to get back DeAndre Swift and actually Hockenson. But yeah, I think there's going to be fireworks. I think a 3-point margin is here is what we're looking at. You know, it could come down to the end. One thing that worries me as a Vikings fan is our kicker, Greg Joseph. He has been inconsistent. He's missing extra points. And we haven't really needed sort of that game winner at the end. But that started last season. You know, last year, week 2, game on the line at the buzzer, he misses against Arizona. We lose the game. And so that worries me as a Vikings fan who has dealt with Gary Anderson in 1998. Perfect all season long. All he needs is 3 to go to the Super Bowl. Misses it. So Blair Walsh, we all know why I left Blair Walsh against Seattle in the playoffs. I mean, this has been a theme for the diehard Viking fans for, at this point, decades. And it just worries me that we're going to get to either Sunday or we're going to get to January. And it's going to come down to Greg Joseph's right leg. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think you're right. I think we got about a 3-point swing here. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and let's not forget on Blair Walsh, that was a 24-yard field goal at US Bank, but at TCF Bank Stadium at the time.
That it was at TCF Bank Stadium, and it was about 20 below wind chill, I think. I got invited to go to the game and said, you know what, I'm just going to watch at home, and I'm glad I did.
that's one of those moments that any football fan that's watched that will just remember it, because it's like, it's a 24-yard field goal, and you beat the Legion of Boom, and you missed it wide left.
It's inexcusable, and it still hurts to this day. You know, nobody in this area likes Blair Walsh very much. Let's just put him like that.
Fair enough. I totally get it. So, moving to what I call the most heralded segment on the Tom Green podcast, and it's the Pick'ems. This week, of course, we only have one college game that's going to be played throughout the entire slate, and it's the big one. We got 7 NFL games, though. I made sure to give us a full 8-game slate. So let's knock out that college game. Army-Navy. Both teams are struggling teams, but of course, 2-0 in World Wars. You always have that under your belt. So tell us more. Army-Navy, who you got?
Well, you know, Navy lost their quarterback back in October to a knee injury. And you know, both of these teams run the ball, right? I mean, that's sort of the MO with Army-Navy. You're going to see, what, maybe 10 passes total in this football game. That's usually how it goes. But throw the records out the window. I'm just going to say it's a 16-13 Army victory.
I like Army in this game as well. After Keenan Reynolds left Navy, Ken Niumatalolo's team has not looked very solid at all. However, both teams are triple option offenses, like you had noticed, like you had said. And I like, let's go 14-10. Army beats Navy. Low scoring. You want to hammer the under on this game if you're betting it.
Absolutely.
The Battle of Ohio, moving to the NFL, Cleveland and Cincinnati.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is Joe Burrow's playing out of his mind. He's entered the MVP conversation. You know, Bengals coming off a huge win against Kansas City. So they're flying high right now. Ja'Marr Chase is back. But Joe Burrow's actually never beaten the Browns in his career, his very young career. He's 0-4. And, you know, this game is at home for the Cincinnati. Deshaun Watson's obviously back in the fold. He looked awful last week, and he looked bad in the preseason as well. I mean, I think Burrow and company probably put up a decent number against Cleveland. I think they kind of win a 28-17 type of battle here.
So you got Cincinnati. This one I pick solely off superstition. The Battle of Ohio has gone to the road team far more often than not in the past 5 years. Joe Burrow has never beaten Cleveland. I'm going to take the Browns by a field goal, but I would not suggest you follow my pick if you're a betting man, because I just have a strange feeling that the narrative of this game has gone to the road team is going to stand, and I feel that way until it changes.
I like it. I mean, you know, the NFL, I mean, these games are close. I mean, rarely is it really just kind of a blowout, especially in these division games, Battle of Ohio. I just think Deshaun Watson does not look good. and Joe Burrow looks the part of MVP right now. Although Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes certainly have something to say about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if this were against really any team but Cleveland, I'd probably pick Cincinnati by two scores. But I'm thinking, I just have that inkling. I'm likely wrong, but we shall see. Another divisional game, AFC South, which I've dubbed as the hardest division to pick in football. Jacksonville and Tennessee.
It seems like Jacksonville and Tennessee play every week. I don't know why. These AFC South matchups are always interesting because they seem to always be close, even when, you know, the discrepancy between these two teams is pretty big. So the Titans are interesting here because they've lost two straight, but then they just fired their GM, and they're leading their division. They're leading that AFC South. So something clearly going on there behind the scenes. Perhaps there's a power struggle between, you know, that axed GM John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. We don't know. Anyway, they're typically close, but let's just say Derrick Henry runs all over the Jaguars. They control the clock a little bit. I'd say Titans win in a close one, 24-21.
Jacksonville has been a bit of a surprise this year, but they fell hard against Detroit, and I was there to see it too, and I enjoyed it. In a divisional game, if this is at Jacksonville, I consider picking Jacksonville. But with the way Mike Vrabel coaches, which has been honestly unbelievable in the years he's been there, I got to go with Tennessee despite the struggles. 31-20. A little bit higher scoring there. Derrick Henry runs for 150 and two touchdowns.
That sounds about right. He's a stud.
Oh, yeah. Moving to the AFC North, Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, another division matchup. These are usually very physical, kind of low scoring, gutted out Baltimore-Pittsburgh games. You know, and the problem here and the kind of the huge issue for Baltimore is Lamar Jackson's probably not playing. He didn't practice today as of Friday, so we'll probably know more tomorrow about that. So it's going to be Tyler Huntley starting again. It's the Tyler Huntley show in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to say, you know, the Steelers are going to just these teams are battling. I mean, obviously Baltimore and Cincinnati are tied at the top of that division. Pittsburgh's not dead yet. So I think the Steelers win at home. I think it's a low scoring game. You're probably looking at, you know, a 20-16 type of ball game here.
If Lamar Jackson were playing this game, I would pick Baltimore, but man, the Ravens, they have been a bit of a question mark. You would think that the Ravens would have won almost 8, 9, 10 games by now. But of course, they've blown 2-score leads in the last minute. So with Tyler Huntley starting, I can't necessarily trust this Baltimore team. Even though it's a John Harbaugh coach team, I can't trust them. And Pittsburgh, they're in grave danger of in their first losing season under the Mike Tomlin regime. But they're gonna make things interesting at least for another week. Pittsburgh 20, Baltimore 10.
Gotcha. Well, I like it.
Tampa Bay and San Francisco.
Yeah, really good matchup here. This is one of those games that I'm definitely looking forward to watching on Red Zone, which I'll, you know, 7 hours of commercial-free football from 12 to 7.
Scott Hansen, yes, I like it.
With Mr. Scott Hansen. So it's interesting. This is 22-year-old Brock Purdy versus 85-year-old Tom Brady, right? It's Brock Purdy versus
Pretty much.
So I think that the 49ers have a much better football team than the Buccaneers. It is going to come down to Purdy. And here's the deal. Todd Bowles loves to blitz. He's going to come at Brock Purdy early and often, but Purdy played really well last week, 25 of 37, I believe. I think he's a decent option. They seem to love him there. They're saying, you know, we're not taking a step back because Garoppolo's out. Will be just fine. And that's sort of the MO for the 49ers, right? Their identity is tough defense, run the ball. They have so many weapons on offense. In spite of the fact that, you know, they're going to come at Brock Purdy, I think that they just have a better football team than the 49ers. So, you know, I think it's going to be a 27-24 49ers win at home.
Despite the records, this could very well be an NFC divisional game because the NFC South is terrible. And who wants to be a millionaire? Who wants to win the NFC South hosted by the now deceased Regis Philbin? Who wants to win the NFC South? Right. That's delayed by a week as San Francisco wins this game by 2 scores. Even though Tampa has Tom Brady, they're still a 5-7 team, I believe, if I'm not mistaken correctly. Even though Brock Purdy is the quarterback now in San Francisco, if they have the confidence, let's see what Mr. Relevant has got. San Francisco 30, Tampa 20. With good games, you get crap games. Carolina and Seattle.
Yeah, this is just one of those games that, you know, Carolina's coming off a bye. They're traveling out west. You know, there's always that narrative of, oh, you know, you're jumping time zones and all that. It might be probably a close game. You know, Ken Walker's probably going to miss the game, and they have a ton of injuries in the Seattle backfield. So it could be DJ Dallas or Travis Homer. You know, I think the bottom line here is Geno Smith's played well enough to win some football games. He's been great. He's been a surprise for them. And it's hard to go into the 12s, you know. It's hard to go into Seattle and win. It doesn't matter kind of which team you are. Carolina's somehow still in the playoff hunt. They're 4-8. But as you just said, that division is terrible. So anything can happen. But, you know, give me Seattle 28-26.
The classic Geno Smith quote after week one. They write me off. I ain't right back. Yeah. Carolina, I mean, I don't know how this team is still treading water, even without Baker Mayfield, who's now in L.A. and just beat up the Raiders on a 98-yard of scoring drive to end that game. They're without Christian McCaffrey, who's now in San Francisco. So this team is just limping to the finish. I'm sure we've seen that SpongeBob episode where the injured guy is on one leg and he's like, that's kind of where Carolina is right now, just treading water. Even without Kenneth Walker, Seattle wins 20-10. Now I'm gonna pretty much just like Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I said 20-10 on that one. I'm saying 20-10 on this one. This is going to be one of those yikers games. Sunday Night Football got flexed into Sunday Night Football. Chargers and Miami.
Well, I mean, the reason I'm going to watch this game, besides the fact that I watch every game, is there's a lot of fantasy football goodness. You know, I got Tyreek Hill and Austin Eckler. Chargers need this one. You know, they need a win to keep their playoff hopes essentially alive, but they continue to disappoint. I mean, just this team, I don't know if it was a couple of years ago, I mean, the Phillip Rivers years where, I mean, they just lost by, it feels like they lost by a field goal every single game. They just couldn't finish. Under Brandon Staley, they don't seem to be able to kind of finish either. You know, I think Justin Herbert's fantastic, but he doesn't have a ton of help. Injuries have hurt them, specifically at the wide receiver position most of the year. I do think Miami just has way too much firepower. And so they'll win this game, and they'll win 27-20.
Yeah, it seems like the only contrarian pick I've got here is Cleveland and Cincinnati because, I mean, the Chargers are good. We know that Justin Herbert is good. We know that Austin Eckler is good, but they're not great. That's the thing. You got good, not great going on in I was going to say San Diego, but Los Angeles. You've correctly pointed out, under Schottenheimer, they weren't able to finish. Under Anthony Lynn, they weren't able to finish. Under Brandon Staley, now they're not able to finish. The narrative continues in Charger land. Oh, wait, there are actually Charger fans? I thought they played every game on the road. This one, they're definitely playing on the road because there are not a lot of Charger fans in America right now. Miami 31, Chargers 20. Eckler goes for 2 touchdowns. Hill goes for 2 touchdowns. Milstagram is very happy on his fantasy team. Monday Night Football. You can call it, yeah. Monday Night Football, you can sort of call it the Chandler Jones Bowl, sans Chandler Jones, New England and Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is just some of these Monday Night matchups are pretty pedestrian, including this one. You know, I don't know if Arizona is better than the Patriots. I certainly don't think so, but, you know, they're at home. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray get cooking a little bit. You know, I'll take them in this matchup. I think it's really, this is just a toss up. So give me Arizona 28, New England 24.
Yeah, it depends on what Kyler Murray team shows up. I mean, we had the Kyler Murray team against San Francisco that looked awful. And then you had the Kyler Murray team against the Raiders that comes back and wins right at the end. So this one, I'll be honest, I only put this game in the pick'ems just because it was on Monday Night Football, and I had almost by default this game made the pick'ems slate. To go contrarian, I'm going to go Patriots and say that Mac Jones throws two touchdowns and maybe Ramondre Stevenson finds the end zone once. Arizona, or New England 24, Arizona 21. A bit of a snoozer on Monday night. It's, yeah, get your Christmas stuff ready to go that Monday night, because that one's going to be a snoozer.
Yeah, I agree. I'll watch, you know, I'll have that game on, and I'm sure I do actually a pick 'em with my fantasy football league every week. We all put in, you know, between 10, 20 bucks and winner take all type of a deal. So it could come down to Monday night to win 160 bucks or whatever it might be. So I'll be watching.
There you go. So we have our pick'ems. We both pick Army. I picked, you pick Cincinnati. I pick Cleveland. We both pick Tennessee, both Pittsburgh, both San Francisco, both Seattle, both Miami. We went contrarian on Monday night. You picked Arizona. I went New England. So with that all said, that's a bit of a wrap. Anything else that you may have to add to this wonderful Tom Green podcast?
Well, I thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, yes.
I think Sunday's going to be a great game. You know, I texted you or messaged you, a couple buddies and I, you know, we kind of go on a Minnesota Twins road trip every year. We went to Kansas City this year, and we're doing Comerica Park next year. So June 23rd, I think, that weekend. I know you'll probably be busy with some work, but if we can get to a game, it'd be nice to meet you in person.
Absolutely. And, of course, as I told you before, I know Audra Martin pretty well, so I'll probably want to go down and see her as well. So I'll try to make things work out on that front. We likely will have the All-Thumb All-Star game on that Friday night, but that is a TBD. It is not exact. I'll know more about that as time goes on. So thanks again, Mills, for coming on the show.
Yeah, Tom, thank you. So I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite announcer or sports broadcaster?
Favorite? Oh man, that living or dead?
Who have you met that, you know? I know you've met a lot of people in the industry. Who have you met that's inspired you? And
honestly, the one that has inspired me the most since the beginning was honestly John Morosi, because I went to the same high school as he did. And he kind of got me started into all this and into the business. And of course, as a single guy, of course, I like to meet all those female personalities as well. Jenny Taft on my profile picture. I really like Laura Rutledge as well. I've been around her a couple of times. Audra, of course, she's great. But if I were to pick one that said that inspired me the most, I'd probably say John Morosi, because he got me started. Yeah, I go back to the roots. Honestly.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's great. And then another question I had for you, you've posted a number of times with the Keep Showing Up shirt.
Yes.
So can you explain to me what that is? It sounds pretty cool.
Absolutely. This meeting only has 90 seconds left, so I'll be brief. Jenny Fisher, she has started the Keep Showing Up campaign, and it's suicide prevention. And there were times in my life, especially at my former job in radio, where I went through some really, really hard times, and that campaign kind of really inspired me to get back up and to keep showing up. And so every time I think about it, I go back to that. Keep showing up. Keep showing up.
Well, that's great to hear, and glad you're enjoying your career. And again, I know we have a minute left before this thing shuts off. So anytime I'll join your pod anytime. It's fun chatting with another sports fan, and go Vikes.
There you go. One pride for yours truly. Go Lions, but absolutely. Great talking with you, Mills, as always.
All right, Tom. Talk to you.
Recording stopped.
Absolutely. Great talking with you, and you bet. See you, man.
Bye-bye.